You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Frisco. This message was first recorded on October 19, 2022, and is titled Little by Little. Grab your Bible and let's join Steve and the message.
The ites were there. The enemy had to push back. God fought with them, and God fought before them. They used the assistance of God with the weapons of men to reclaim their promise, or claim their promise. We're not claiming a promise. We're reclaiming, reconciling. Now that we've been endowed with the power of the Holy Spirit and the truth of God's Word, do we not take on the likeness of Christ? Do we not fight in the spiritual realm? Do we not bear the fruit of the Holy Ghost? I found two spears in my quiver that I had hidden behind some other stuff, and one of them was called gentleness and the other one's called kindness. I had my own version of the two, but anybody that knows me very well knows I stink it up on both accounts. It's the truth. And I'll tell you who helped me the most. Robert Francis O'Rourke. I bet you I've been asked 20 times. When you was in the room with him, why didn't you hit him in the mouth? I mean, he gets asked all the time. Everybody finds out I sat in the room with him. I sat right next to him. I could have elbowed him in the teeth anytime I wanted to. It's easy. He was smiling the whole time. And when I'm asked that, I ask him always, Murph got to hear that conversation today. I said, why would I? Well, he's an idiot. Really, I didn't know you knew him. He's the number two guy running for the governorship of the largest state, largest land mass. He's running for governor of Texas. I guarantee you one thing, he ain't an idiot. He just doesn't believe the same way as me. Doesn't know what I know. Hasn't been taught the way I've been taught. Hasn't been thinking the way I've been thinking. But I found out three things about him while I was sitting with him. One, he was humble. Two, he was respectful. And three, he loves his family. Me and that guy can figure something out. Okay, so if you're the guy that's been me here for the last 20 years and you say something like that out loud, guess what? You just now became a weenie. And a backpedaler. He didn't change my idea about anything. You know why? He didn't have anything valid to say. Because he didn't know. God, I wonder what would happen if he knew. What do you think would happen if he knew? This doesn't sound anything like me, does it? Huh? You know why? Because me was the problem, and me is trying not to be the problem anymore. I would like to be usable. I would like to be able to sit down with anybody, any lifestyle, any time, and be able to have a civil, intelligent conversation, not so they would move my needle to the left, but I could maybe get theirs to bump. Just a tick. That's what moving the needle is all about. Let me tell you something today. If we're going to move the needle of this country, it's all by the mentality of this country. I got news for all you people that think God's in control and he fixes election. I heard that right out of somebody. God's going to fix this election. Let me tell you, Democrats fix elections. Not God. Okay? Get that straight. God doesn't check the box. He left it up to us to choose. Were it not so, Pilate would have never stood on a stage with a guy named Barabbas and another guy named Jesus. And he said, pick. We've been picking Barabbas for a long time. We've given up a lot of ground. Little by little, we can gain this back. I'm here to tell you today, as we begin to make our choices, pretty good chance if it's all or nothing, you're going to get nothing. But if you're willing to weave your way through the process, because politics is not church. Get that straight. Politics is nasty. Politics has a way of doing things to people, for people, and taking things from people. This country was founded on a two-party system, sometimes three. If you get over to New Mexico, they got three going on. It's a complete disaster. The reason there's two is because one won't work in the cause of freedom. Have y'all noticed that even religious people get overbearing and controlling and haughty and right? That was my problem. I was right all the time. I've just been right for so long, I just expect it. Yeah. You know what the Bible showed me this morning again? Victory follows humility. Only the humble will be exalted. He who humbles himself. But what if I'm not the smartest guy in the room? But I've done my homework. I have a good story to tell. What if I just put out a little information and let people make up their own mind? Choose this day. You choose. What if I asked for permission to share my story so we could move the needle a little bit, a little bit? See, David Barton told me all the important races going on in our country now, this time, most of them be won by 100 votes or less. This is a horse race, and it is neck and neck. My question to us is, you just got to figure out if you're in it to win it, you're in it to feel good about yourself. What are you? Where are we at in this? These are some real good valid questions, because we have some hard choices to make, and the candidates are getting less perfect all the time. I'll give you, I just don't mention New Mexico for just a minute. There's 1,000 people have asked me to run for governor in New Mexico. I can't. I don't own any land over there. I don't live over there. Right now, it doesn't pay enough. But I hadn't ruled the idea out. I told Robin the other day, she said, "You're really not thinking about that, are you?" I said, "Oh, yeah. But at a later date." You see, if you don't start moving the needle now, when it comes my turn, I'm unelectable. You still got to be electable. You can't just draw the line and say, "I'm standing right here and I'm in it to lose, but I'm going to do right." That doesn't work good. And it's not the process we live in. If you're ready to give up on America, if you're ready to give up, good. And I hope the Beam Me Up Scotty Brigade hurries up. Because the longest any nation's ever done this has been 250 years and we're at 245. And we're as divided as you can possibly get. If that needle moves any more to the left, it'll be 60-40 before you know it. There's important things going on in our nation today, not just the lives of the unborn. We better don't just die on that sword, because somebody's got to stand up for the born, too. There's a lot going on here. And little by little, I believe we can do this. So I want to share with you just a little bit out of Deuteronomy 7:22. And we're going to just talk about some stuff. It says, and the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you, little by little. You'll be unable to destroy them all at once, lest the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. But the Lord your God will deliver them over to you and will inflict defeat upon them until they're destroyed. And he will deliver their kings into your hand, and you will destroy their name under heaven. No one shall be able to stand against you until you have destroyed them. You shall burn the carved images of their gods with fire. You shall not covet the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it for yourselves, lest you be snared by it, for it is an abomination to the Lord your God. Nor shall you bring an abomination into your house, lest you be doomed to destruction like it. You shall utterly detest it, utterly abhor it, for it is an accursed thing. I want you to hear what he's saying right here. In that covenant with God, in that promise, he said, I'll go before you and destroy your enemies. Jesus came and he said, it's finished. I have now given you everything necessary for life and godliness. You've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. You are to walk in the Spirit of God. You walk in the fruit of the Spirit, bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Thus saith the Lord. You have to be connected to the vine, for you are the branches. You are the engrafted branches. You are the ones who have been brought into the covenant of God. Now I have equipped you with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You shall bear yourself behind the shield of faith, shod with the readiness of the gospel, wearing the helmet of salvation, carrying out the word of God, the sword of the Spirit. Pray in the Holy Ghost. When you stand and keep praying. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities of darkness, the forces of evil. And so as I've done all this stuff, I realize that God's purposes will never be fulfilled by man's playbook. Is there a path for victory? Can you take? How many of y'all remember back when Trump was running against, what's her name? Jackass and the Jezebel. How many of y'all remember that? That thing went nuts. I mean, like 100-something thousand people listened to that thing. They say it went right to Trump's desk like 2 or 3 times. He never did call me. I was in the room with him one time. I bet he didn't realize the guy that called him a jackass was sitting right in front of him. These were your options. You had a Jezebel and you had a jackass. I am on this, but the truth, these are your options. Neither one of them qualify to be your pastor, your Sunday school teacher. You wouldn't even let them be your babysitter. These were your options. As Americans, we have an obligation to pick which one of the two options best serves the people. All the people. Every citizen in this country is a partner to you and me in this great endeavor of freedom called the United States of America. They don't believe like us, all of them. They don't sound like us, all of them. But maybe if we could walk up with our hat in our hand for just a minute and converse or pray or talk. I was standing at a horse sale the other day with a lady that I love. And she loves me. We've been friends for 40 years. I don't have to worry about her listening to this tonight, but maybe she might have been, maybe. We had a pretty good go the other day. But listen, she's as liberal as you can get. She claims to be a Jew. I know more about Judaism than she does. I'm like Curtis, I speak Hebrew every now and then. I guarantee you she doesn't. She can't stand the name of Jesus. And she's kind of been in the closet all during COVID, and, you know, she'd wrap her head in a gunny sack or whatever, because you try to stay well. And anyhow, she comes out the other day and comes, and I hadn't seen her in a long time. She comes up to the auction block, gives me a big hug. She's got a couple of horses in the sale. Well, let me add one other thing. When I was wrestling around with leukemia, she called me every day. Just saying. So we're standing there, and they're fixing to pray. In fact, me and her are giggling around there, and they're telling us we got to shut up because they're going to pray. So she starts to run off, and I just grab her by the arm, and I said, "Ah, come on, stand here with me. We'll pray. It won't kill you." "Oh, my God, they're going to pray in the name of Jesus." And I said, "Who else are you going to talk to? Just stand here. And anybody else." And so I just held her arm, and she bowed her head, and I bowed mine, and they prayed. And sure enough, they prayed in the name of Jesus. And she said, "Told you." I said, "Now they're going to sing the national anthem. Does that tick you off too?" "No, I'm fine with that." And we sang the national anthem. On my way home that night, I was driving up to Kelsey's from Denton. It's about a 3-hour drive. He calls me. We talk. I said, "Hey, all your friends been trying to get you saved, hadn't he?" "Yeah, how'd you know?" I said, "Oh, that's what Christians do." I said, "They're all praying for you because they care about you. But you don't even know if there is a heaven. And all your friends are trying to get you there." I said, "So this Jew thing you got going on, did you know anything about the feasts or anything about that kind of?" "No. Just a Jew. My family was a Jew, and I'm a Jew." And I said, "Huh. I know a guy named Jesus. He was a Jew." And I said, "And you got all this liberal stuff going on, and I guarantee you, you believe more the way I believe than you believe than them knuckleheads believe, but because a bunch of us believe in Jesus, now you won't be on the other side of the fence." And I said, "I guess if you want to get over it," but I said, "you believe in fiscal responsibility. You believe in shutting the gate at your house, so apparently you believe in borders. You believe in entrepreneurship, most successful woman in the horse business. You believe in making money on your own commerce. You don't want anybody giving you a handout, so me and you got a lot in common." "Yeah." He said, "I really like talking to you." And I said, "So, me and you like horses." I said, "Who do you think made them?" He said, "Well, I don't get where you're going." I said, "Well, you're a Jew. They believe God created all things." He said, "You know, I'll be real honest with you. Nobody ever taught me about that. That I kind of believe a little bit about that." And I said, "Well, if you believe a little bit, then you got to acknowledge there's a God somewhere did all this. Is that not correct?" She said, "Yeah." And I said, "Well, I'm a little weird too, because, you know, I met Jesus in the cab of my pickup about 20-something years ago." He said, "I believe that." I said, "I thought you didn't believe in Jesus." I said, "You know what I hope one of these days? Is he'll get right in your business like he got in mine. Nobody's trying to talk you into something you don't know nothing about. Trying to get you to act in a way you don't know how to act because it's not in you. Get you to be another one of these Jesus-loving trained puppets. That ain't going to work for you. Maybe Jesus will just show up one of these days and you can tell me all about it." I said, "Hey, one other thing before I hang up. Would you care if we talked again?" "I'd really like that." Dadgummit. Some things that an old rough and tough bully like myself needs to learn. Some of you people sitting in here been praying I'd soften up one of these days. I'm not soft on my stance. But something's happening, and the weapons of God kindness, gentleness, self-control, taking time to acquire information, to have the visit. But in America today, we are so busy protecting our idols, we won't come out and talk. Let's don't kid ourselves anymore. We love our idols more than we love our fellow man if they don't agree with us. We love our buildings and made sanctuaries. We cling to our theologies and our false humility. The Bible talks about that. Humility will make you look weak. Praise God. Because in my weakness, now made strong. And to approach the people who don't think like me and don't act like me with humility, with respect. When Robert O'Rourke walked in that room over there, and there were guys that showed up in their Trump caps and their T-shirts. Maybe some of you are sitting in here. I don't care. Trump's not even on a ticket. Why would you wear his cap? Wait till he's in the race, and maybe he will, maybe he won't. I'm not going to say. God, I hope he meets Jesus between now and then. We can work across the aisle. That's supposed to happen in this setup. You know, our founding fathers set this up so you could work across the aisle. I used to give Jody Arrington heck because I thought he was weak on some things. But do you know every committee, the Finance Committee, the Ways and Means Committee, the Agricultural Committee, all the committees in our nation's capital are all bipartisan? How many of you have ever served on a committee that you didn't like everybody? But together you had to collectively get somewhere. Our first constitutional convention in 1784 was in Philadelphia for 4 solid months, where the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists locked themselves in a room for 4 months so they could hash it out about a constitution that would establish freedom for all mankind. They couldn't agree on nothing. And then Benjamin Franklin invoked prayer into the place. What, you think fairy dust fell down on everybody? No. They prayed together and all of a sudden started listening to each other. That's it. Listening to each other. When O'Rourke walked in that room that day, he sat down by me and I said, hey, I didn't wear my stuff. But you're in West Texas and with a white guy in a starched white shirt and a cowboy hat. Which side of the fence you think I fall on? He said, I spotted you the minute I walked in the door. He sat down right by me. I'm not promoting him to be governor. I think he'd be a disaster. I'm just telling you. The guy that I wanted to get up and punch in the nose, because I'd seen the sound bites and I'd seen the TV commercials and I'd heard the stupid things that might come out of his mouth. All of a sudden, I saw an opportunity that maybe somehow, some way, I can move his needle. I found some guys across this country running for governor that would answer my phone calls. That's huge to find a guy humble enough to answer a guy's phone call with if he's in New Mexico and you have a Texas telephone. Why would he even bother answering the phone call? We can talk. That I could ask questions about some things that have been said and some things that have been done. That I could know for myself without some news media guy being between me and him. And I could get it straight from the horse's mouth. But I didn't call him up and tell him what I thought. I said, sir, did I ask you a couple questions? trying to figure this out. Would you help me? Would you help me understand why you said what you said? Would you help me understand why you've done what you've done? Would you help me? That don't sound like us, does it? We're right.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. We're on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.